You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, what's that time? One of my favorite times every single week. So on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I got two brethren in talk radio from different spots around the state. And we get together, we call it the Grand Council. So let me just go ahead and call the roll and see if they do be here. So from FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile, also as the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
He is present and sounds like he's on the phone today. And then from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh!
All right, stand at ease. Let's do this thing. I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Da-da-da! All right, a quorum being called. Let's move on. Dale Jackson, first question, what you got?
Yes, Jeff Poor took umbrage with this earlier, so let's just go ahead and get it all out in the open. Terry Collins, a state representative from Decatur, has proposed a bill. I think Darian Garrett is in on it, too. Adding 30 days to the school year, if the school district wants to, opening up the door to some of them possibly changing to a year-round school system. A little more money in the state would be allocated to such decisions. I love this. If we can't have school choice, let's try something unique. Jeff says, no, Dale, no. What about you?
So you're asking me first what I think about it?
Yeah.
I think this is crap. Why would you do this? So let me get this straight. You can't get us out of 50 most days of the year, so you need a few extra days of the year so we can stay at 50. I mean, if we're not going to pass meaningful school choice, then what's the good of having more school days? I think all they're doing is trying to find a reason to plus up the education budget. And then I remember when I was a kid, and maybe I'm the oldest one in the group here, but when I was a kid, we actually had 3 months of summer, and dadgum if we didn't turn out okay. So I think this is a horrible idea. I think it's an opportunity for the teachers' union to exert more control. I have no idea why this would be needed. If somebody could explain it to me, I'd be glad to hear it. Jeff Poor, chime in and support me, my brother.
This is nothing but Dale Jackson looking at ways to absolve him of parental duties by sending Grant to school year-round so he doesn't have to watch him during the summer. And it's the same thing with everything he does. It's self-serving, and he knows it. We did this 3 years ago when they started talking about year-round school, and here we are. We're doing it again. It's a dumb idea. Just stop.
So Dale, he has now called out not only your support of the bill, but your actual parenting skills. Your response?
100% correct. No argument at all. The actual reason for it is the idea that there's too much brain drain over the summer, and they need to shorten the summers a little bit. And adding more days would allow them to do that. There's also a plan that some schools could do this without even adding days, and that's probably preferable. You spread out the breaks a little bit, and you do more breaks each month, keep the same number of days, but we don't need the summer. I mean, Grant will not be out, you know, doing farming, which was the original idea, right? So let's do what some of the folks in the other rest of the world does and go to school more year-round. That's the idea. So I like it. I like it. It's a chance to change things a little bit. If we can't have school choice, this is a good plan B. I'd still rather have school choice.
It's not a good plan B. It's a plan Z. It's like it's an entirely different track. It's not even on point. I look at this and think, this is a waste of freaking time. The same nation that put people on the moon did it back when we had 9 months of school.
then there are cultural reasons that we do it this way. The summer vacations, summer jobs. And, I mean, you just want government to do everything, Dale. You want year-round public school to cede that time to the government instead of ceding it to what kids could be doing. I know there's some places where, the kids get a little rowdier in the summertime, but that's not what I mean, that's not how it's. We just can't just give to the government and expect them to fix.
Well, that's not what would happen. If it's the same number of school days, you're not giving anything away. If it's 30 more, you're giving a little away. I'll agree with that. But I'm not no government. I'm for good government. I'm for making things better, even though they can't be perfect.
Yeah, but I think 30 more days of failure is not a good idea. So right now, I would say that 30 more days is a bad thing, and I'm going to table this one and move on. Jeff Poore, next question. What do you got?
Chairman Donnie Chastain of Geneva County funded the PRICE Act today. To the ETF, he's the chairman of the Education Policy Committee in the Senate. I thought this thing would get through the Senate. I thought it would die in the House, but it may not even make it out of committee on school choice and the Price Act once a year.
Yeah, so I had Terry Lathan on the show just a little while ago. She was one of the speakers there at the hearing. Jeff, you were there. The thing that really gets me is it's very rare to see a bill go to a committee, come to a public hearing in the committee, and then to have the committee chairman who just hosted the public hearing announce that he's punting it to another committee. Now, it's being punted over to Arthur Orr's Education Budget Committee, so I guess my sense is Senator Orr, being the budget chair, said, if you're going to do something with education, send it to me, and maybe Chastain said, yes, sir. But the reality is that's a highly unusual tactic, and it indicates to me that we got problems. Dale?
Well, I think the thing has problems anyway, even though I think we all agree it's probably a much, much better plan than we have right now, that we should do it, but it doesn't sound like it's moving in the right direction, does it?
No, not yet, although I will say, though, my understanding is the room was full. I mean, a huge amount of support, lots of applause, a very motivated crowd. There's more energy for it this year than I've ever seen.
Hold a hearing on whether or not transgender surgery should be allowed, and you'll have all the transgender surgery advocates in the world in there, and it's still not going to be allowed.
There you are. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
Well, so I Stutz tried to get it in the Education Budget Committee first, and they told him no, go to policy. So they're giving him the runaround on this. So it makes me think that they're trying to save some of these guys from having to take a tough vote.
Well, I agree, but you know the end result is some of those folks are on both committees. There's like three or four members that are on both committees, and now that we're going to have is an entirely new public hearing, and you're going to wind up having probably even more supporters of the bill showing up. So they may have opened themselves up for a firestorm. He could have tabled this. He could have given it a non-favorable report so it doesn't get out of committee, but he punted it, and so now it's still got legs, and it may get more legs because of this. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, real quick, before we move on, let me ask you then. You think more people will show up the second time around? Because it's meant to kind of drain the support. Oh, I got to go back to Montgomery and go sit through another one of these committee hearings and hear everybody talk. It just seems like they're doing this to kind of whittle down the support.
Well, time is the enemy of good legislation, but I would dare say this: it depends upon the grassroots leadership. So, if the folks who organized today's gathering can get really busy and inflame the passions of the people who are supportive who just didn't make it out today for whatever reason, I think you'll have a bigger turnout. But it's going to depend. It's going to be a leadership issue. Terry Lathan and others are going to have to really be on their game. But I think they can get bigger support there the next time around. Yeah, they certainly can. All right, let me jump on to a question here. This one got some attention on my show earlier. Right before we went on the air, it broke that apparently corporate America has not learned from the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney tragedy. And today it was announced that Maybelline Makeup has Dylan Mulvaney as one of their spokespeople for women's makeup. Give me your unabashed thoughts, Dale Jackson.
I am done buying Maybelline makeup for me and my son. I am out completely. There's no way. Look, this is going to be a little harder to be successful, to be honest. And this is not meant as a slight of the fair sex, but for some reason they're more tolerable of this garbage. Also, Bud Light's easy to boycott because you can just say, I'll have a Bud Light. Never mind. Miller High Life, please. And that's the end of that. That's easy enough to do. I'm not sure about makeup. I know people have the makeup they like and all this. Jeff is constantly trying to find makeup to endorse him. So I know he has his favorite brands and stuff. So it's a little harder to boycott.
Oh, Jeff, the accusations fly today. Your response. Did we lose Jeff?
He hung up.
He just we just lost Jeff.
I'll answer your own question.
I'll jump in. I'll jump in while we're doing it. Boomer, you check on Jeff. Now we got a busy signal. What the heck, Boom? All right. So while we try to regather one of the members of our council, we still have a quorum. I'll move forward. This is ridiculous, man. This is nonsense. And when you look at it, you think, first of all, it's a dude modeling women's makeup. But then not only that, it's a dude who does a really bad parody of like a 13-year-old giggly girl. And so women everywhere are sick of it. I do think it will impact sales, at least for a period of time. But the question is, why did they do it after watching what happened with Bud Light?
Wasn't it first, though? I mean, I think they did this like a month ago, and people are just now talking about it.
Wow.
I mean, not that that's better. It's still stupid. But the timeline here is kind of questionable because it all matters what will people do with this next. And then there's like the Nike thing where he's working out, where he's like mocking women and stuff like this. And it's just very, very
silly. It's awful. Well, I think we got Jeff back. So, hey, Jeff, did you hear the question about Maybelline makeup?
Yeah, so I just, at least there's a market there. Drag queens wear makeup, I guess. it doesn't bother me as much. I wear the makeup. But Bud Light is, they're forcing it. They're trying to force it on us. It's a total different thing they're trying to do there. It's the intention. With Maybelline, it seems less offensive.
Less offensive? They went straight to women and Jeff. I got to disagree, man. So they literally went straight to a women's product and pretended they had a woman modeling it and trying to make that accessible to more women. And I think that it's more insulting.
Well,
I think than Bud Light.
Maybe they want to make it accessible to guys that think they're girls too. I mean, it's a free market economy, and they can make another buck. God bless Maybelline. Let the drag queens buy the eyeliner or whatever the hell it is they sell.
See, I told you, he's angling for an endorsement.
I'm just saying, man. You've gotten soft, Jeff Poor. All right, hey, listen, we're going to a break right now. We'll let Jeff reconsider his position in life. And in the meantime,
we'll hear
our sponsors. And we will be right back with round two of the Grand Council. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world, one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to round two of the Grand Council. I've got Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News. And I've got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Round two, Dale Jackson, what do you got?
You know, Jeff accused me of wanting to take away the responsibility of my son. And as we were talking in the first segment, he put a whole roll of toilet paper in the toilet. So, there we go. My question is this.
That's
Nikki
your boy.
Haley is debasing herself right now by saying that she tweeted this to Disney. Hey, Disney, my home state will happily accept your 70,000 jobs if you leave Florida. We've got great, great weather, great people, and always a great day in South Carolina. South Carolina's not woke, but we're not sanctimonious about it either. Is anything worth debasing yourself this much as this pathetic woman is doing?
Well, so she just virtue signaled to the moderates and the left, and then she used the word sanctimonious, which is code. That's exactly what that was the phrase that or the name that Trump gave to Ron yep. DeSantis, Ron DeSanctimonious. So that tells me she's looking for a VP job, and that's what I see. And then I also look at it and think, what a crap thing to say, because. Mm-hmm. First of all, nobody in conservative land believes for a second that what Ron DeSantis has done has been wrong, and I think it's getting to the point. That I'll be honest with you. I think Ron DeSantis needs to cool it back and take his victories. But right now, we just found out like an hour ago that Disney has filed suit against the state of Florida now. But yeah, Nikki Haley, that was a chump move. Jeff,
no, I agree. Who's it for other than Donald Trump? But it reminds me like Carly Fiorina when her alma mater was playing Iowa in the I think the Rose Bowl, and and she's all of a sudden she's an Iowa Hawkeye fan, and it just stuff like that. It just reeks of phoniness, and people snip it out, and it falls flat when you do it.
Yeah, it just does. Your own question, Dale. What you got?
Yeah, it's just embarrassing. Completely embarrassing. She's really trying hard to get on a ticket that's going to get crushed by Joe Biden.
All right, well, let me take the next question then, because that's a great segue. So yesterday, Joe Biden, my office manager here at Right Side, says he just phoned it in. He announced he's running to be the two-term leader of the free world, the president of the whole freaking United States, the occupier of the Oval Office. And what did he do? Early morning video. Has there ever been a more lackluster announcement? And then my kind of follow-up question with that is he really going to make it through the election? Do we think this is just like a placeholder to keep him from being a lame duck? Jeff, you go first.
No, it might be the most lackluster campaign rollout. I mean, he could have gone on any media outlet. He could have gone on he could have gone on Colbert or Fallon or something like that, and that would have been a bigger splash. So I just think it's indicative of what the campaign is. I'm not Trump. Vote for me.
Yeah, yeah, Dale.
He remains not Trump, so congratulations to him for that. And that's about all he's trying to be. The other day the press secretary talked about people's bones melting because Republicans want them to. I mean, these people are out of their minds, but all they have to do is keep saying MAGA, Trump, MAGA, Trump, and then Trump's going to stand up and say MAGA, Trump, MAGA, Trump, and that's going to be that's our election. So way to go, dummies.
All right, Jeff, last question with about a minute and a half.
Fox News firing Tucker Carlson.
Wow.
I'm a little biased because I worked for Tucker for 3 years, but Fox News not to be relevant. As relevant as it once was, 10 minutes into this national election cycle. What say you? I mean, y'all are outside the bubble.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it and think you have the number one news show in all of network news, and you fire the guy. And you have nothing to say about it. You just say thank you for your time. And I find that to be disingenuous. I mean, I think the viewers were owed better than that. If you got to part ways, I understand business decisions are made sometimes. But I look at this and think this was a loser way to handle it. And then, oh, by the way, I think it also makes Fox, you know, much less of a force in the market for conservatives. Dale.
In media, you don't get a chance to say goodbye after they fire your ass. That's number one. Number two, it sucks. It's absolutely terrible. Bill O'Reilly was gone. Tucker Carlson picked it up and ran with it. There is not a successor, I think, obviously available. It's either going to be Kilmeade or Jesse Waters, and I just don't think it's the same thing. They've really hurt themselves significantly.
I think Will Cain's got a shot at it. But all right, Jeff, your own question with the music playing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be as relevant. You lose your top talent, the luster's off.
Yeah, I agree. Shines off the apple. All right, fellas, appreciate both of you. Thank you for making time. The Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, The Jeff Poor Show, and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, 92.5 FM, 770 AM WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and me. And we'll be right back.